today on the Scott Thompson Show on 900 CHML.
Moscow is warning that relations with Canada are, quote, on the verge of being severed. I really didn't think they were that strong. This after the government has moved to forfeit a massive Russian cargo plane. The plane has been sitting on the tarmac at Toronto's Pearson since February of 2022. Russia says we perceive this act as cynical and shameless theft. What happens now, and what about that relationship with Russia? Let's bring in R.O. Brown, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs, University of Toronto, and with us now. R.O., thank you for the time. Hope you're well.
Thank you.
Tell us about this Russian cargo plane that is sitting at Pearson. It has been since February of 2022. And I guess now it will be sold. What will happen to this plane now?
The intent declared by the government of Canada is that it will seize it, that it, it already has, in essence, been in our possession, and that it will either be sold or it will be transferred to Ukraine, which would be kind of ironic because this aircraft, an Antonov 124, was designed in Ukraine by the Antonov Bureau, and it's also the case that Russia, when it invaded in the second invasion in 2022, it destroyed the largest airplane in the world that was the pride of Ukraine, the Maria. And so for Ukraine to get hold of this aircraft as compensation would be both symbolic and substantive. But it does involve very difficult legal challenges, because this would be seizing something that belongs nominally, at least, to a private company. Consequently, if there is this kind of seizure and there's a formal court application, this can be challenged. And so you could have a drawn-out legal case. Russia, of course, has threatened reprisals, but they have already engaged in all sorts of reprisals. So as much as this is something that indicates that Canada is taking a lead, it would be innovative, there would be very significant danger to Russian private companies if other countries follow suit, it is a difficult achievement to do legally, and there are certain problems in international law. Another suggestion was made that I think perhaps might ultimately be more productive, and it was made by Larry Summers, Philip Zelikow, and Rob Zerlich, and these were respectively former Secretary of the Treasury of the United States, a very senior diplomat, and the U.S. Trade Representative, and the former President of the World Bank. And that was that instead we should go after the sovereign funds of Russia, about $300 billion, which is abroad. And this would be a state countermeasure. So what this could be done is, what could be done rather in this case, would be essentially a kind of extrajudicial means of self-help in the international system. And as long as these countermeasures are proportional to the wrong that has been done, and that is the invasion of Ukraine, this illegal aggression, the horrific damage that was caused, which estimates for the rebuilding of Ukraine are at around $400 billion. This could be well justified. And I think in terms of public international law, it may be more doable, and it may be less risky in terms of achieving success than what is being proposed right now.
How significant is this seizure? Is this a loss for Russia? Do they care? A plane's a plane. It's only one. Is it more symbolic than anything?
What they are really worried about is the precedent that if we go through with this and then we go after other private assets, because this is the first kind of move by a country in G7 or elsewhere, going after these private assets, we might go after the assets of various oligarchs as well, that other countries may follow. But it depends particularly on the legal systems, how prolonged it would be. And we don't know just how successful this would be at the end. But that is the main concern in Moscow, that this could sort of begin something that would be difficult to stop, that would create endless legal entanglements for their companies. But, you know, we should be aware of how much of an uphill battle this is. The various oligarchs and the various companies that Russia has built, they have a very tangled web around the world. Sometimes ownership is not very clear. Sometimes minority shares have considerably more influence than it would seem in terms of proportion. And so this is why, going back to what I mentioned first, and that is to go for state countermeasures, where you go after the roughly $300 billion that Russia has abroad, which has been frozen, that I think might hit Russia much harder. That could be transferred to Ukraine. And I think that would send the most powerful message. But I'm not averse to trying this. I am just concerned about how long this would take, what the prospects of success are in courts. Would there be opposition in other countries because they're worried about going after private companies? And that is something to be tested.
Moscow says that relations with Canada on the verge of being severed. What kind of relationship is there with Russia?
As you pointed out, there's not that much of a relationship left. Our trade relationship has virtually collapsed. We used to import from Russia over $1.5 billion, I think, per year. That was the latest figure before the war started. And since then, that trade has gone down by something like 80%. And in fact, in the past several months, it's pretty well down to zero. We used to get platinum from them and nitrates for fertilizer and so on. And basically has disappeared. So I don't think there's that much to salvage in economic terms. But, you know, we still have diplomatic relations. And so if they were to actually break off diplomatic relations because they would view this as such a severe threat because of the possibility of emulation elsewhere, then, you know, we would have fewer means of diplomatic communication. But that can also always be replaced by other means. You know, we can do it through the Swiss or some other. So I don't think we need to be overly worried about the Russian threat of retaliation in this case.
Harold Brown with us, Professor of International Relations, Senior Member of the Monk School of Global Affairs, University of Toronto. Harold, as always, thanks so much for the time. Be well.
Thank you for having me on.
The Scott Thompson Show, weekdays from noon to 3 on 900 CHML.
Just before he was hanged, a prospector accused of murder sets a curse on anyone looking for his hidden gold. I'm Crew Williams, the host of Dead Man's Curse. Join me as we journey into this 150-year-old mystery to sort fact from fiction and maybe find a little gold along the way. Join our quest. Search for and follow Dead Man's Curse, Slumux Gold, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.